This can't be right, right?
Hey folks, good afternoon and welcome to the Seriously Wrong podcast. We are your afternoon boys, the Wrong Boys.
Hey, hello, how are you? Nice to see you, or I guess be heard by you more technically. Yeah, and welcome to part two of our One Day in Utopia trilogy. It is a trilogy now. You know, things just, they keep getting bigger.
Oh yeah, people comment on the first episode, oh, I hope there's a part two. Well, we'll do you one better. How about a part three on the house? Don't even think about it. Actually, not on the house. That one's going to be behind the paywall. Very sneaky of us, but
you get 2/3 of a day for free. You want that last third? You got to pay. We're like dealers.
Utopia at night.
You need that $6.
Edgy.
But yeah, you know, we were recording. We're doing this new production style, and we were like, "This is getting too long. We got to split the episode." So we got morning in Utopia. Now it's afternoon in Utopia.
And yeah, just to wrap up. What we were talking about last episode there, we'll get into recording this later. We're talking about pools, the pool utopia.
Yeah, and how things are solvable, how, you know, problems can be overcome. That's kind of the note we left on last time.
Yeah, so let's zoom back into that conversation on one of the most important and big issues of our time, which is unwiped asses at the pool. Roll the clip.
Yeah, totally. It's like, how do we engineer a way for this issue to not come up anymore? Like, if we've made all the pools public and it turns out there's an issue with filters getting clogged because they're being used more than they were, or the, you know, whatever the thing is, like, you figure out what the issue is, solutions to it.
There's an epidemic of unwiped asses going into the pools and...
Yeah, the signage that says, please wash your ass before entering the pool hasn't been working. Mm-hmm. So instead, you set it up so that in order to enter the pool, you have to watch a short video on why it's important to clean your ass that leads you directly from there into a private shower with the video playing while it's like, please, right now, while you're doing this, wipe your ass. And then very few people, if you're in a shower with a video playing, instructions telling you how to wash your ass, most people will probably just do it at that point.
Yeah. And if you've done it consistently enough that everyone knows you're a trusted ass washer, then you can get a permanent tattoo that can be scanned on the way in that allows you to bypass the process.
It could just be like a bracelet, or it doesn't have to be a tattoo.
I think it'd be a highly fashionable, I know how to wipe my ass right. Tattoo.
Yeah. I'm not against it. If that's what people decide in the utopia, then I'm all for it. But
maybe it's a bracelet, but people just find the bracelets kind of annoying. So they just typically get the tattoo. It just becomes normal. It's not mandatory. I'm not saying like mandatory, I can wipe my own ass branding or anything like, but yeah, it's an option. Like there's a lot of options and freedoms in this whole thing. It's about setting up the right spectrums, and then when people are like deviating to a point where like they're possibly going to violate the boundaries of the spectrums, having like friendly ways to like push them on course collectively through incentives, social negotiations, and so on. So yeah, I don't know about the specific ass wiping video example.
I think that's it. That's
the answer. Equally important as the library thing.
It's equally as fundamental.
We now go to two old friends having a peaceful afternoon picnic in a wooded area which used to be a highway.
Thank you so much for inviting me out to do this. You pack the best picnics. I'm obsessed with your potato salad. I'm obsessed with your orange juice, freshly squeezed from the tree behind your building.
Yeah, no, we got to do this. It's been too long, man. I totally understand. You got stuff going on, but I love doing this. So anytime, let me just put down my blanket. You know, this is actually hand woven.
I'm obsessed with this blanket. I got to stop saying that, but it's true. The knit on this is perfect. The weave, I love it.
Yeah, I got into weaving there for a while. A few blankets, right. And then, you know, something else caught my fancy. I ran off to do. I should do it again. It's actually really fun. And look, I actually designed it in the visage of the founders of our utopian society, Sean and Aaron. They're two smiling faces. I know we're not supposed to idolize them, but I can't help it. I'm obsessed with them.
Look, if I'm going to sit on some faces while having a beautiful picnic, I wouldn't choose any other faces. You know what I've been obsessed with recently as a hobby is making puzzles. You know, I paint an image on like some puzzle board and then with an X-Acto knife actually physically cut out pieces individually.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you're making your own bespoke puzzles out of your own hand-painted things.
Exactly. And hand-painted, hand-cut, donating them to the puzzles.
Puzzle library or
gifting them? Some of them go to the puzzle library. I mean, they'll all ultimately end up in the puzzle library, you know, as time goes on.
But I do get property relations, so.
But I gift some to friends and family, or I gave a few to the local daycare. I made some that were really fun with bright colors for the kids. It was great to watch them put together the puzzles that I created. And
well, yeah, when you said making puzzles, I thought you meant doing puzzles. And I was like, oh, that's fun. And then, no, you're just actually making them. And I was like, wow, that's actually even kind of funner in a way because it's contributing to other people's enjoyment, too. That's got to be really enriching.
Totally.
My thing lately, I always wanted to like understand calligraphy, like the fancy pen work.
Oh, and yeah, right.
Here, look, I'll just write something really quick.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's beautiful.
Check this out. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's not too hard. I watched some videos and then I went down to local art library and they had a calligraphy event. So a lot of new people, you know, actually I really struggled with it at first. And I had this moment, I was like, I don't know if I can do this. And then the calligraphy guy, he put his hand on his shoulder and he said, look, everyone starts somewhere. And that's actually not that bad at all. It's just you need to change the way you're holding the pen this way. And he showed me how to do it. And by the end of the day, I was totally confident in it.
It makes such a difference when you can have someone who knows how to do something, give you a little bit of advice, keep you on track.
Yeah, it's been so long since we talked. Like, what have you been up to?
I was learning computer coding. Just kind of dabble in it. It's fun. It's like I don't have to like deep learn any languages and become like the best at it. I'm not trying to code my own version of Linux or whatever, but like just little fun things. I've been walking all of the hiking trails within 100-mile radius. I got a big checklist and I've just been going through them kind of one per week usually. Sometimes two, sometimes I miss a week, whatever I feel like. But so that's a thing, you know. It's cool. It's fun to just have a checklist and to check them all off and be like, you know, I did that. Yeah. And I've been swimming more. You know, ever since we solved that unwashed asses at the pool problem, I just love going. Oh, yeah, obviously magic and illusions. I've been attending night classes, you know, the classic cards, pulling long strings of handkerchiefs out of hats.
Wow, hey, where the hell did that come from? How'd you do that? You
know, it's actually real magic. No, just kidding. The teacher's great. We've actually become friends and been having coffee with them. But enough about me. What have you been up to?
Oh, geez. I mean, it's been, I don't know, a couple months since we did this. So let me just see if I can rattle off what I've been working on. I mean, I'm still doing the winemaking and home brewing. I've got this great mead. I can give you sweet honey mead.
I'd love to.
Really good. I tried woodworking for a bit because I wanted to make a chessboard. I got really into chess and I've been going to the chess club. And I had this idea I was going to make a chessboard for everyone in the club, but I found that woodworking really wasn't my thing. So I made one. It's a little, let's just say it works and I'm proud of it, but I realize, you know, it's time to focus on other things. But I still do love chess. I play chess all the time. And Ultimate Frisbee, something that my brother-in-law got me into, and I do it every second Tuesday now. Really cool. He also does parkour. He said he's going to teach me how to do it. Really stoked on that. I haven't yet. I tried kayaking. And I actually really liked it. It's just finding someone to go with has become a thing. So, I mean, if you want to kayak anytime, I'm down. It's actually a lot of fun. I saw an orca whale.
Oh, neat. Yeah.
There's a lot of wild animals, as you know. But, I mean, obviously, even close to the shore, the orcas coming up and like, really, really cool.
I mean, even right here, there's chipmunks. There's some raccoons over there. I see a couple of little bunny rabbits cute hopping through the trees.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. All the birds, obviously, chirping. And
Yeah, no, that chirp right there, that's a warbler. I was doing some bird watching weeks ago. I picked up a little bit. I'll probably do it again, but sculpting and pottery happens at the same time a lot of the time.
Right.
I do that with my wife. So
That one's kind of non-negotiable.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be doing it anyway. Well, I would be doing it anyway as far as she knows, but I don't want to make her feel
like maybe she's a little less frequent, but
I value the time with her.
You know, doing two things at once, that's beautiful.
And I've been fooling around with origami a little bit.
Nice. Here. Yeah, I did that actually a while back, but I didn't get very far in it.
It's a paper rose for you.
Oh, thank you. Good, this is beautiful. This is better than anything I ever put together.
It's easy. You just got to follow the instructions and you get used to it. And then obviously beatboxing and rapping has been just taking over everything for me. I've been doing, right. You know.
It's
just...
Yeah, no, I mean, I've been following the songs you've been posting online. You've been doing great. I talk about it on my podcast all the time, how I know you, and not to brag, but...
No, you showed me that video of that guy beatboxing, and that's when like the light went off for me. I was like, I think I could do that. I want
to
do that.
I'm sure you would have discovered it anyway, but I like to think that I had a little bit of a hand in it, because honestly, like... It's beautiful, the beatboxing that you do. It takes you to a different place.
Thank you so much.
It's like transformative. I'm obsessed with it.
Yeah, I actually found a way to fuse my other passion now. Like, I do a lot of volunteer childcare and support, especially for sick kids.
Right.
And I've actually been able to fuse that in beatboxing. Mm-hmm. A few hours a week, I'm beatboxing for kids at the hospital. It's just so enriching. And having that opportunity, I feel so blessed to see the light in a child's eyes when they see me pull mm-hmm. off that kind of layered thing where there's the beat, the tones, the melody, and then like, you know, bring something in like run that back or like put it all together, and the kids are like, you can see their eyes light up.
You're doing that all just with your voice?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, let me show you. And, you know, like last week I was with this kid and we spent 2 hours together. I got him going. And then he was, we actually recorded a section. It's going to be on my next mixtape that comes from this sick kid. And it's the first day, but it's actually incredible what they can do.
Wow. Can't wait to hear it. So, yeah, do you know what time the parade is supposed to start? The day we ripped up all the roads and got rid of the cars parade? It's pretty soon, right?
I think it's supposed to start at sort of like high noon, but it starts a couple blocks from here. So I don't know, probably another 15 minutes or so.
Right.
Or actually, do you hear that?
I think I do hear that.
Yeah, it's weird. Have you ever seen pictures of roads?
Yes. You know, it's anytime you watch old movies from the past era, mm-hmm. it's bizarre. These cities with just concrete everywhere. So much of the footprint of your city is just covered in pavement. I'm just glad that I was born nowadays, is what I'll say about that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's the parade holding these big foam pickaxes. I guess that's what they used to rip up the roads.
Right, right.
That float, that big upside down car. It's like they're carrying the car as if it's like a hunted wildebeest or something.
Yeah,
or if it's been
like
defeated.
Taking it away. And oh, there's the float where they're tearing the car to pieces and recycling the bits and melting the metal parts down.
Oh, I wanted to be in this parade. I couldn't make the rehearsal. I mean, I guess I could just start walking with it, but I wanted to be, you know, part of it. But pottery day.
If I was setting up this parade, you'd have your own float. You'd be up there with an amplifier beatboxing to everybody. Maybe next year.
Oh, stop. You flatter me. Maybe next year, though.
And that was two friends having an afternoon picnic in the park. And now back to our show. So let's talk about afternoons a little bit. What do you do in the afternoon?
Yeah, I mean, in the current society, often the afternoons are spent laboring, being exploited, having your labor taken from you to enrich a boss who sometimes is in the other room, but is sometimes across the country or across the world. In our utopia, that would not be the case. Our vision for afternoons would be afternoons that are dominated by leisure activities, where people can do whatever art they want, where people can see their friends, where they can play sports, where they can explore nature.
Yeah, I feel like the afternoon's kind of like peak day, right? Like you've got the morning, it's when the sun's rising, things are coming out. But afternoon, it's like the sun's out. Assuming it's a sunny day, maybe it's a rainy day. Maybe you live in Vancouver where it rains a lot. But in general, the afternoon is like, you know, that's where you're at like your highest level of energy. Unless you need a nap, which is also an afternoon thing that would be totally supported. If you have afternoon crashes a lot and you need a quick nap, totally allowed. But if you're more of an afternoon picnic kind of person, you want to meet your friends at the park, maybe there's some music, there's like a little stage, some people are contributing to society by playing music for everyone. Mm-hmm. It could be a nice afternoon thing to do. Lay out the blanket, you got your cute little basket with things in it. You lay it all out and have a little smorgasbord. Maybe you brought too much food, and so the people nearby are like, hey, do you guys want a sandwich? We brought extra.
Wow, how nice. Thank you so much. But they're just saying that as a formality because it's completely normal and it happens all the time. It's like not surprising at all that someone at the park would offer you free food, because that's just more or less an everyday thing. You know, Karl Marx, he's got a quote on communism where he says that under capitalism, you know, if you're a fisherman, basically, you have to be a fisherman all the time. And that sucks ass. I'm paraphrasing here. But his quote, he talks about the different times of day. He says, you know, in a communist society, nobody has one exclusive sphere of activity, but each can become accomplished in any branch he wishes. Society regulates the general production and thus makes it possible for me to do one thing today and another tomorrow. To hunt in the morning, to fish in the afternoon, rear cattle in the evening, criticize after dinner, just as I have a mind, without ever becoming a hunter, fisherman, herdsman, or critic. Now, that's a classic Karl Marx quote that all the communists in our audience are well acquainted with.
It's funny. I feel like I've heard variations on that quote of people like remembering it or saying their own version of it so many times that when we went to look up the actual quote for this episode, I was like, oh, I didn't remember that three of the four things that he lists you can do in a day all have to do with creating meat to be eaten. Yeah. They're all like, yeah, you know, you could get some meat in the morning, get some different meat in the afternoon, and at night you're raising meat to eat. Like, okay, Carl, I mean, there's other things we could do. You could use a bit more variation in that quote. But I mean, it's still a great quote. I love the idea behind it, but it's very meat-centric in a way that I just didn't remember.
Yeah, don't blow up our comments for this, but it's a little brocious to eat that much meat in one day, Carl.
Yeah, are you on the Jordan Peterson meat-only diet or what?
But the takeaway from this for me is that when we talk about afternoons, yeah, people need to have access to fishing. So what's the context of a good system for fishing? A good system for fishing would be about the maintenance of waterways, you know, overpopulation and so on, you know, living in balance with the earth. And there's, I just got the vegan alarm went off. The little angelic vegan on my shoulder is like, oh, in a utopia, maybe there'd be no fishing. And maybe that's true. Sound off in the comments. But if there is fishing, it would be in a way that is done in balance with nature as part of humans in a natural ecosystem. You know, bears eat fish, humans eat fish. Fishing is an important part of cultures all around the world since time immemorial, you know, eating fish. One of the things humans do. Fish is also really good for you. Like, it's got omega-3s. It's like, anyways, we can debate the details of this later. We got a lot of time building utopia. But insofar that there is fishing, which I'm inclined to think there would be, it could be done in such a way where it is balanced with nature for the purposes of keeping a balance in the ecosystem and to provide protein, omega-3s, and so on for the human population. And it can be done so in a leisurely way, like Huck Finn on the edge of the river, kicking back, bare feet, maybe reading a book, got a little bell on the thing or whatever. And you can do that all afternoon if you want, buddy.
Yeah, totally. You just said brocialist. It reminded me of gyms and working out and gym bros. I think there would be plenty of gym equipment and gym spaces for people. Like, I think that's a common afternoon activity for people too. Like, you know, after you did a bit of work in the morning, I'm going to go hit the gym and work out. It's not a thing that I do, but I understand it's a common thing. And I understand it's also good for your health. So, you know, you wouldn't have to pay some weird gym membership where you can't cancel it without physically going into the place to tell them that you want to cancel it. I understand that's a weird thing with a lot of gyms I've heard about. You know, there's just well-functioning, fully stocked 24-hour gyms available. You can go there. It's a nice place, a friendly atmosphere, helpful. There's trainers there who can show you if you're doing it wrong in a way that's going to hurt you. Like, oh, you don't lift like that. Your form is bad. You're going to pull your shoulder. You can say, oh, thank you. And you don't have to pay them like $200 an hour to be your personal trainer. That's like just some utopian gym things that come to mind.
Yeah. It would also be, it'd be cool to like plug in the, if there's like stationary bikes that's plugged into the grid. So you're using human power to generate electricity. That's a nice utopian thing. And also the gym equipment of the future. I mean, it might be totally different than what we have now. It might, you know, we might find new and better ways to do things, use human power against human power and so on to build strength. It might be totally different. I don't know. But what I do know is that it will be accessible to anyone who wants it whenever they want it. Totally.
Yeah, there's no banning getting swole. If you want to get swole, it's totally allowed.
Yeah. But yeah, afternoons, it's a time for art, time for picnics, to spend time with friends. It's a time you can play video games. I think we could have greater variation in video games than we've ever had before. Instead of having all these firms chasing the same designs, trying to create the new Fortnite because that's the profitable thing, you can have like real creativity branching out in a million different directions. And then over hundreds of years, I mean, we've only got 50 years of video games now or something like that. Imagine what the video game spectrum will look like after we put 500 years into this shit. That's something that I think is cool and exciting. Yes, we will have video games in our utopia and you're invited to play it as much as you want. Asterisk, like, and no one's going to arrest you or whatever, but like there's a lot of things to do. So maybe like doing it all the time might be gently socially discouraged.
Maybe you want to go to the movies, go to the cinema for a little afternoon matinee.
Yeah, or the theater, see some improv, see a live band, you know, any time of day.
Play.
You know, things happen in our society in the evenings because everyone's at work. But if you take, if you fluctuate, if you tweak where work happens and how much, suddenly there can be events at any time of day and there's sufficient people to go to them.
Yeah.
This just occurred to me for the first time right now, but it's true. We press so much into our little evenings trying to accommodate everyone who works during the day. You don't have to do that anymore.
Yeah, spread it out, you know? Let people have a nice afternoon, do some fun things.
I also think, like, we mentioned education before, but I think education is part of recreation and, like, it's on a spectrum. And, like, people getting access to the education they actually want to get is a recreational activity that should be, like, totally opened up to people. Time with friends is important and, like, context, like, places you can go with your friends. Different location-based interaction styles that groups of friends and stuff can do.
Yeah, or even, like, more activity-based, group activity-based kinds of things where, like, I think a lot of the time now, there are certain things you can go out and do where you will be meeting people and, like, engaging in a group activity with other people who enjoy this activity. But a lot of it, again, is locked behind paywalls and it's really difficult. It's like maybe you're into rock climbing or like bouldering or whatever. You go to the rock climbing place. There's, you know, all the big puffy mats are laid out. But, you know, right now it costs money. So there's like things you can go out and do where you could meet people. You could go there with friends or not with friends. But there'd also be like socializing at work, going to signing up for a course with a friend. Like you're both interested in a topic or maybe they're more interested than you are, but they kind of talked you into it. You go to it together. It could be a thing that you do together. You both go to these lectures and talk about them afterwards. Socializing, I think it's a thing that you want to have like dedicated time for, but also something that can be woven into all of the other things that you're doing.
Yeah, I'm thinking like on the social front, one of the things that socially is most nourishing to me is just like eating with friends. And sometimes it's in people's homes, but it's also very frequently like in restaurants. There's something I like about that so much, sharing food with friends, getting together and talking and stuff. And you just want to like hang out there like a long time after the food's done and, you know, get your coffee refilled and stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's why the communal canteen thing is also really important. It connects to the socializing, the friends piece. But like when I think of like, oh, what do I like to do in my life with my friends? I guess, like, yeah, going to parks, going for walks. I mean, you want to have the infrastructure to have the best walks possible. Like when you go for a walk out in this society, it should be extremely stimulating. There should be stuff to see, places to go, vistas, clean air, wild animals, you know, plants. It feels so good to walk through the forest with the big, big tall trees around you and the clean air.
Yeah.
Like that should be an everyday thing. That should be what it's like to walk down the street as much as possible.
Yeah. Walking down the street should be like 50% like that already. There would be more buildings and stuff, obviously, because you're in a city, but it should also be easily accessible to get to places where you can do more of a hike through nature. You know, obviously we want to be mindful again of the ecologies and like the effects that turning a place into a hiking location can have. But that kind of thing can be managed and understood, like what the throughput should be and having areas set aside to not be constantly having people come through them and whatnot.
Yeah, this makes me think like it might make sense to put a lot of the like civilization-y stuff like underground and like have elevators that bring you from the surface down to like, you know, the library transit blah, blah, blah system or whatever. And like, so you can have as much beautiful trees and nature and stuff on the surface as possible. Mm-hmm. Not mandatory 100% or anything, but like if we're going utopia, like I think it makes a lot of sense. There's something really special about having as much nature as possible in the city. And the way that you can really have as much as possible is kind of minimizing the outgrowth above the ground line of human civilization. I don't know what the ramifications of that are, but I'm just...
Yeah, we're just brainstorming here. But instead of skyscrapers, you have a lot more ground diggers.
Ground scrapers,
ground punchers.
And having the... Instead of having the highest suite in the building being the esteemed thing, it's like having the lowest suite in the underground building is the esteemed thing.
Because I guess problem with that is the, people like windows with sunlight.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll see. There's trade-offs.
Yeah, I mean, you could also set up, now I'm no expert, but you could set up something like a mirror system that ricochets sunlight deep underground.
Yeah.
And like, so you capture the genuine sunlight and you have it like reflected across the underground. Like, if we could have both the surface preserved to the highest degree as like a nature preserve and have the underground world to the highest degree touched by the sun, that sounds like a dream scenario. Wherever on that we can find ourselves. But yeah, there's too many recreation things to mention, really. It's like
arcades, bowling, laser tag, escape rooms,
sports, safe drug use in a controlled environment,
dance parties, yeah,
such as caffeine and alcohol. People clutching their pearls. Yeah, that's right. You're guilty too. But also in our utopia, there's like a cocaine place, probably.
Yeah. Moderate, like mild use of cocaine is something that people can do safely. I think it's important to acknowledge that.
But most of your day should be a smorgasbord of your own desires. And maybe that takes the form of kicking back. And maybe sometimes that takes the form of political organizing and trying to change things that you see need to be changed, or try to help people you see need to be helped. And there's spaces that can be booked. One of the things that when I do activism, it's like hard to find good spaces where you can just get people together and like talk about politics and like do political stuff, like breakout groups or whatever, or training and stuff like that. You have to like rent spaces and it gets like really expensive, or you have to be in parks and stuff like that. There should be more like common rooms that are just like bookable that you can, for various reasons.
Yeah. There's like a big meeting room here with like five smaller meeting rooms off the side for breakout groups. And that's just like, there's lots of these available for anyone who needs them.
But yeah, whatever your wildest recreation dreams are, this utopia can fulfill. You know, choose your own adventure day after day. There's a lot that can be done. It's up to you. We now go to an electric solar-powered patrol buggy of the authoritarian leisure goons. The only authoritarian thing allowed in the entire utopian society. Bad boys,
what you gonna do when they come for you? Another day, another 4, 5, 6 workaholics put out on the beach. Feels good, man.
Yeah, I just don't get it, man. You give them everything they need to become a musician, a poet, a fisherman, all the art supplies they need, and they won't leave the desk. They just want to get more work done. Then we got to step in.
Yeah, it's crazy. Before the utopian society came to be, people kept thinking, how will you get people to work? How will you get people to work? Turns out people want to work too much. They're overworking. They're doing themselves wrong. And the only way to stop it was the little authoritarianism.
Well, you got to crack a few eggs to make an omelet. And in this case, the omelet is a work-life balance. For every single solitary person in our beautiful library socialist society, it's ecological and democratic, where people are paid according to need.
And look, you love work, you want to do a lot? Sure, fine. It's freedom, human freedom, no problem with that. But there are limits, and there have to be limits. Yeah, leisure is important.
You can't burn the candle at both ends, running yourself ragged. That's not right.
No, that's why we're here, that's why we step in.
Wish it didn't have to be this way, but it does.
Oh, call's coming through.
All right, put on the sirens. Yeah, so on 16th Plaza, library repair worker. He's been sitting at his desk for 7.5 hours, no lunch break.
No lunch break?
Yeah. Ugh. Sick fuck.
Disgusting.
Open up, authoritarian leisure goons.
Front door.
Hey, we got a call of some overwork going on
here. Sir, can you put down the wrench, please? Can you put down the little paintbrush?
Back away from the repairs. There'll be plenty of time. There's plenty of other workers. You need rest.
It's not that urgent, man. Go down to the beach. Have a margarita.
You are barred from the premises for at least 1 week, and any more objections, it'll be two. Now, that's two. Do you want to go for three?
You want it to be 4 weeks? Make my day. I'd love to see you relax that long, buddy. Hey, don't resist. Hey,
stop,
grab him.
Stop fixing that. All right, got the wrench out of his... We'll cuff him.
This guy's terminal. You're going on sabbatical, buddy.
We got a plane ticket for you. And a second one. Is anyone you want to take on this trip with you?
Here's a phone number of a good tour guide in Mexico City, sir. I highly recommend him personally. Tell him I sent you.
And if we get any reports of you doing anything productive, work-related, we will find you, and you will relax.
All we gotta do is take this perp to the airport, and it's all hammocks all the time for him.
Oh, look at him. Falling asleep in the back seat.
Oh, resting his eyes. Tuckered out.
Knew he needed a rest.
That's what happens when you work too much, buddy. You get tuckered right out.
Oh, yeah, I am tuckered out, too. It's been a long, long 3.5-hour day being Leisure Goons. I'm ready to crash, have a nap. After that, I got salsa lessons tonight. You want to come? Salsa lessons?
No, I was thinking I'd take the buggy around for a couple more rounds and see if I can lock up any more of these scumbags at the beach with art supplies.
Didn't you stay late yesterday, too, and the day before that?
I got, like, three more guys overworking last night. I sent them off to... One went to the beach, one went to the museum. Really rewarding, important stuff. So yeah, I'll just get a few more in and then just a couple more. Call it quits there. I'll probably catch salsa another time, but...
When's the last time you worked less than a 4-hour shift?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. When your work is so joyful at all, you know, it doesn't even feel
like
work.
All right, I've heard enough. Hey, dispatch, we got a 1067 here.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, patrol car number 43. We're en route to the airport.
We now go to an electric solar-powered patrol buggy of the authoritarian Leisure Goon Leisure Goons, the only other authoritarian thing allowed in our utopian society.
Another restful day being an authoritarian Leisure Goon Leisure Goon.
Yeah, I mean, some of these authoritarian Leisure Goons, they just don't know when to call it quits. They think it's such an important job, they think they're exempt.
From their own rules, and it's no way. Buddy, you're not.
If anything, you should be working less.
Oh, yeah, it's traumatic stuff doing this, too. So,
yeah, people on the edge of work like that, just like trying
doing
to...
Doing so much.
Oh, I want to refill my stapler, just let me send three more emails. It's like, relax.
Despicable. Call coming through.
Let's hit the sirens.
Looks like car number 43 en route to the airport.
Hey, knock knock, sir.
All right, step out of the vehicle.
How much time have you been making for yourself, bud? Are you learning any new languages right now? Taking salsa lessons? Anything like
that?
Look
at the bags under his eyes. We're going to need you to hand over your badge, uniform. You are not doing any authoritarian leisure gooning for at least 1 week. Two, if you argue.
Don't push us, bud. I'd love to send you away on a 4-month sabbatical. It would make my fucking day.
You want
to
get on the plane with this guy you got in the back seat here?
Yeah, he's got a second ticket. No one claimed it. Hey, no, don't resist. Hey, stop. Just because you're an authoritarian leisure goon doesn't mean the law doesn't apply to you. Yes, it's important work. No, it doesn't cancel out. You overworking is not made up for the fact that other people are not overworked. No, sir. Oh, passed out. The little guy's tuckered right out.
Sleep in the back. So much leisure gooning gets to you.
Yeah. Well, that's all about all the time I have today for this crap. It's been about 1 hour, 59 minutes for me. You want to go down to the bar and start drinking?
I don't know. I might hang out a little more, do a couple. I'm not tired yet.
Huh. Yeah, didn't you stay for 2 hours and 5 minutes yesterday?
Well, I mean, I might have. It's such a rewarding job, it wouldn't surprise me if I had. It's not too bad.
Listen to yourself, man. You're an authoritarian leisure goon, leisure goon. You can't be talking like this.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. Let's get something to eat. I don't know what was getting into me. I'm sorry.
We all have a dark heart inside of us. We all have the ability to lapse, to fall back, to work more than we need to run ourselves ragged, burning the candle at both ends. I'm not going to let it happen to you.
And that was the authoritarian leisure goons, keeping society safe from the scourge of overwork. And now back to our show.
Another piece of the utopia, though, this is something that actually, it's almost like work. If it's done right, it's almost like work. It's another thing that's a little bit burdensome, really important, but it can be fun if you do it right. And it shouldn't take up too much time, but should take up enough time that everyone collectively can get the work done that needs to get done. And what I'm talking about is democracy, having a system of participatory politics for society where people have a meaningful say in the things that affect them and the world around them in a way that is fair and balanced and pays attention to knowledge, pays attention to expertise in a way that is meaningful, and specialization, like the democracy of workers versus the democracy of customers. There's some inherent conflicts there. And both are really important. So real democracy is about being able to mediate all the different fractal views on society into some sort of cohesive, participatory, egalitarian whole.
Yeah, we were talking about how when issues come up, like unwashed asses at the pool or whatever it happens to be, there's going to be ways to respond to that. And yeah, the system that we have for responding to things like that, obviously, if it's like a super local issue, like, you know, there's an inefficiency in our kitchen and how it's operating, then maybe just the people who work in that kitchen regularly would get together in a little democratic meeting and decide what they want to do.
Have a ballot of all 10 billion human beings to change the layout of your living room or something.
Exactly. Yeah. It's who is directly affected by this, who deserves a say in this particular idea. But yeah, if you're wanting to advocate for changes in your society, say you don't like how many above ground buildings there are in your city, and you want to advocate for moving more and more buildings underground, and you have this idea for a mirror system with the sun or whatever, and like how to do that, that could be something that is, you know, maybe you would talk to different engineers and things to see how realistic your ideas are, what the resource load would be. There could be a lot of different processes that you could undergo to put together this proposal to move more buildings underground, or maybe to build a proof of concept building. These kinds of things, massive uses of resources like this, would be community decisions. And so you could bring that to the community council. Maybe it's just a neighborhood decision. Maybe it's more of a municipal decision. You know, those kinds of things can be worked out. But if you see something in society that you think isn't operating as best as it can, you see ways things can improve, we want to have options for people to meaningfully affect those things. Because I think, yeah, a lot of us see things in the world and just be like, why is that like that? That doesn't make sense. And in the current society, you basically just have to be like, oh, well, I don't know. The boss of this room is the one who gets to decide those things. So it's not up to me. I just have to sit here and be annoyed by it over and over again. But in a participatory society, you could look into it. You could see why is it set up that way. Maybe there's a good reason. Maybe there isn't. And you can present proposals, have it voted on by people for whom it affects, and yeah, maybe you can make changes and do things.
Yeah. And it's not that everyone is always voting on everything all the time, like we said. It's also not even that everyone is always voting on, like, voting is part of it, but democracy is like this deliberative, like, multi-phase process when it's done correctly and fully. So like, even being affected by something doesn't mean you're necessarily going to vote on it, but it's, I think one of the important things is the ability to pick something up and champion it, and then bring other people to support that think cause that you're championing, and then have a way that through like reaching sufficient numbers, sufficient consensus and so on, that you can formally create a process that's going to bring in other people, and it's going to pass it through the thresholds of, I mean, if engineering is involved, like obviously engineering is real, like it's based on physics. So you can't just like all vote to make a flying car that doesn't have any like voting. It doesn't make the car fly.
Yeah.
And then also there's like ethics. Like I think there's thresholds for ethics. And I think that, you know, the way that a lot of cultures have dealt with this historically is like having elders be kind of the keepers of ethics, and that you have like an ethical framework an ethical bar to cross. You have to get ethical approval to approve certain things. I think that principle is pretty solid in a democracy. It can take the form of a constitution, or it can take the form of like It's also kind of like, yeah, like in religion, it's like there's a priest caste that is like weighing in on, not that our utopia has a priest caste, but our utopia needs to have something like a constitutional framework as it relates to ethics that is like passed on and embodied in people who are stepping up to a very serious and important role in society, which is like being the conscience. There needs to be a conscience that is part of democracy as well. Sometimes it takes the form of a constitution. Sometimes it takes the form of like a council of elders. The dream utopian version of that is probably somewhere in between there, but it's definitely very participatory. It's not elitist. It's not closed off. But I think it's an important part of the picture of like a real democracy.
Yeah, I imagine I think a democracy, in order to be functional, needs to have limits. And some of those limits are going to be like, you know, the like common critique of democracy, three wolves and a sheep voting on what's for dinner or whatever. It's like,
yeah, I'm saying those three wolves need to ask a council of old wolves and sheep. just a council of old wolves. No, those three wolves need to ask a council of old wolves and sheep if eating each other is okay. On some level, in some way. Not literally, but...
Yeah, I don't know if old people are necessarily always more wise or moral. Like, I think sometimes there is a wisdom that comes with experience. There's also a sense of jadedness to what is that sometimes comes. Maybe there should be a council of teenagers and old people.
Right.
And just everyone in between is excluded. And you have these idealistic young teens who see everyone to change the whole world and the old people who are stuck in their ways. And there's a beautiful balance there. But however it is, I think there needs to be, ethical principles, constitution. There has to be a certain way to check that whatever's being proposed isn't going to unduly harm people. Yeah, you don't want to be able to vote in, just because it's a democracy doesn't mean you can vote in something that takes away the rights of other members of the democracy. Like, that's one of a huge problem with how the current democracy functions in certain ways, is that like you can just vote in a leader who says they're gonna take away trans people's rights, and then they're allowed to do that, and it's not...
A better system is like, you know, trans people should probably be keepers of their own rights.
Yeah.
And like this, and it's the same with like, it's a weird jump from trans people to farmers, but like farmers should be kind of the keeper of like farm knowledge. Like they should have a special place in a democracy as it relates to running farms. I think it's not unreasonable to imagine a smorgasbord of all these different overlapping kind of like interest councils and so on. I think a real meaningful democracy isn't actually about just like casting ballots and counting up majorities. Like that's sometimes part of it. Like it's like an element of it. But I think when we're talking about like a fully library socialist democracy, we can try to explain or imagine different ways this stuff could all theoretically work together. But I could also make a really broad metaphor. The thing about like systems that the world works according to is that they're extremely, extremely complicated. And if you tried to explain how everything that we have in our current society flows out of representative democracy and markets and, you know, the urban planning norms of the last century or whatever, it would be very challenging to summarize that quickly. And the same thing is true when we're talking about a democratic, library, socialist, ecological society. The details of all this stuff, it's very contingent and based on context and so on. We can talk about principles more broadly or what the experience might be. But in reality, it's a really complicated and detail-oriented thing in order to like actually exist. But the general principle is that there's layers of different democracy that intersect, where the whole is bigger than the sum of its parts, where things are checked across against each other, where people have the free agency to participate and rally others to participate with them to achieve ends, where people are keepers of their own rights. There's constitutional limits that can't be passed. And decisions are right-sized, like where decisions are made are right-sized for the expertise required, the moral context, those who are affected, the location, and so on.
Yeah, technical feasibility and environmental feasibility, impact. Like, can we actually do this thing? And if we do this thing, is it going to have a bunch of external negative effects that aren't worth it? there needs to be ways to check proposals against all of these things, and they'd just kind of be base requirements to, if you want to have something implemented, you got to clear all these marks. It's got to not be infringing on fundamental human rights. It's got to be technically feasible. It's got to make sense for the resource load and its sustainability requirements of the society, all of these kinds of things. And then within that realm of like potential approved things that could happen, then you have sort of more qualitative discussions between people about what would we prefer to have. Like, would we prefer things to work this way or that way? And some of those things might just come down to what people in the society want. And maybe that'd be a vote. Maybe there'd be compromises between different visions. But the process of people coming together and making those decisions is democracy, is political life, and should be a thing that everybody is able to engage in on the issues that they want to engage with it on. And not just able to in an abstract way, like, oh yeah, you could do it if you wanted to, but there's time, energy, education. All of society is geared towards the understanding and the expectation that people have these impulses to want to help shape their society, and how do we facilitate that?
Yeah, so in the day-to-day experience of this democracy, it might look like coming together in a small room to, you know, have votes according to some formalized way. It might be like scrolling on your phone through different proposals and ideas, participating in conversations and co-education. It might look like participating in specialized committees that relate to your role in society, your expertise, and so on. And all of these things cascade together in a coherent and publicly understandable way. The algorithm to it is open source. It's not like we have all these meetings and then mysteriously decisions come from somewhere out of it. It's like, that is the type of day-to-day experience you could expect to have with regards to democracy. And if you become really passionate about something, if something pisses you off that needs to change, you have a means to like use your voice in that front, rally others to join you in using your voice on that front, and then have a political debate through a structured mechanism where there's a genuine chance to touch the world and change it from doing so. And that's something we lack right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Except in a weird indirect way that's still like, it's just hard to like, how would you even explain that? If someone was like, describe your society, how you change something in your local community. It's like, well, you're writing letters to the paper maybe, and like
write to your representative or make a petition, or like there's things you can do, but none of them are very direct. None of them are more like, the idea of a petition, it just struck me as like, you're kind of like asking like the people in power to do it, please.
Yeah.
That's what you're allowed to do in this society, is to kind of ask, please, will you do this, rather than, if you want to do it, then do it. Like, say you're like, oh, the closest amusement park to me is 4 hours away. I think that's an injustice. We should build one outside the city. You propose it. People are like, no, that's a nature reserve. I don't want to bulldoze that for an amusement park. So, you know, you go back and forth. Maybe you're okay with one hour outside of the city. And there could be, you know, there's like a whole process that can be undergone. You put the proposal out there. People push back on it for various reasons. All that can be incorporated. How can we make everybody happy here? It's an ongoing process. And, you know, some people would be like, I don't care about amusement parks. They don't even pay attention to that issue, except maybe at the very end, they're like, oh yeah, sure, I'll vote yes on the environmentally eco-friendly amusement park 40 minutes away with dedicated train service. I vote yes on this proposal. Seems like they really did their work and it's good. You can size your level of interest and attention to various issues based on how much you actually care about it. But you still have a say in everything. But, you know, relative to how much work you're willing to put in and how much you're engaging on the issue.
And participating in some piece of that that's relevant to you and relevant to your interests is something you can do on a voluntary basis every single day for 1 hour, half an hour, 4 hours. You can spend the whole day on it sometimes. And I had this brainwave when you're talking direct democracy is like, you said advocating to politicians and stuff. It's not very direct. And I had this thought of like, there's direct democracy, which is where you vote on the things directly. And it made me think of like direct advocacy, which is like you It's almost like somewhere on the spectrum between direct action and advocacy, where it's like you're advocating in a way where the system is ready to respond to advocacy in a way that is proportionate so that you can actually do it. Like you can actually make it happen. A system where there's a place for advocacy to fit would be really cool. And we don't have that currently. Like you said, you can write a letter to a guy and maybe he'll say that he agrees with you. And then if he's in the opposition, then he'll be like, oh, remember to vote for me because I'm always on your side on this, even though you never get it. And if he's part of like the leadership or whatever, he's like, oh, we're working hard behind the scenes, but I don't know if we can get it done, you know, blah, blah, this, China's going to do this thing. And what if there's tariffs? But yeah, all this to say that there's room within the leisure of your day as a citizen of this utopia for you to participate in democratic processes beyond your wildest dreams and beyond our wildest dreams. And I know that some might hear this and think, well, there's not enough details to start implementing it in full right now. And that is true. But again, please try to imagine describing the world that we've inherited to someone who is not currently there and all the different objections that would be raised to such a thing. And what if the board of directors votes to buy resources that aren't available? It's like, yeah, well, it depends what you're, you know, like it's a good question, I guess. But also, like if you're asking, like, how does capitalism work? Well, what if someone doesn't own the thing that they, there's all sorts of shit like that. And we can figure it out before the medium term, in my opinion. So you've woken up, you've had breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you spent time with your friends, you've done work for your community, you voted on things, you've had recreation time, you went fishing, you went to the gym, you did art. Art is mandatory every day, 30 minutes, write it down. We forgot to mention that. It's mandatory. If you don't do that 30 minutes of art, you're going to library jail. Just kidding. Well, you didn't talk about that either, but there's no prisons. We'll talk about that another time.
There's a lot of flexibility in your day. I think generally it's expected that people will do a bit of work, a bit of democracy. Maybe some people are just real work heads and they don't care so much about the democracy stuff. Some people are more democracy heads. They do a lot of that. And that's a type of contribution. But, there's like overlap and bleeding between these two things. But a lot of your day is taken up with a sort of gentle ability to contribute and help your fellow people. It's not mandatory, but it is encouraged and everybody kind of does it. Cause like, what else are you going to do with your day? You can do some recreation and you're going to have some days that are just recreation, but for the most part, people, you can do some contribution, some recreation, and that's a full day. That's like, you know, days aren't that long.
It's true. Yeah. You can't fit everything you want to do in one day. Even if you split it up really fairly, you have no work, et cetera. You know, one day you're going to have to swim and another day you're going to have to play the piano. You can't do both every day and do other things as well. It's just you run out of time.
Yeah. Or if you like make it your thing that I'm going to swim and play piano every single
day.
Nothing
else. Yeah. No video games. I'm going to take short lunches.
You'll have to cut into other things and you'll have to figure that out. But
I had the thought about people who like work a lot. I think there'd be a lot of people who want to work a lot. Like I'd be that kind of person as long as I was doing something that I enjoyed doing. And I felt esteemed and useful in, especially if there's a sense of urgency and need. I've noticed I really respond to that psychologically. Like I'm more likely to do work that I don't want to do if there's like a sense of urgency and need and esteem that's associated with it. And I think maybe the society, we call those people heroes, you know? Someone who's like a trash collecting hero is someone who works significantly more than they're expected to get the trash done.
You do trash collecting every day for like 5 to 6 hours? That's like 95th percentile. Like that's like the top. Yeah, you're a trash collecting hero. Yeah, I like that. Hero status. There's like a leaderboard or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, do we like, I like the idea of it. I think there should be a place, little stone heads of all the, like when you die, maybe if you're like in your cemetery or whatever, like when you die, whatever version of a cemetery this utopia has, like maybe there's some special thing you get if you were like really a hero, like you were a hero to wildlife conservation.
Right. I feel like everybody would be at least one kind of hero before they die. Like you would, you know, just naturally people would end up earning it. Probably one or two. Everyone would probably be like two or three different heroes throughout their whole life. Just naturally. I feel like people tend to ebb and flow out of things. And well, you know, sometimes you'd really be a hero at something.
Imagine a character in this world who like, he wants to not be a hero. Like, he's designing his whole life around falling short of this, like, leaderboard system that makes everyone into a hero some way or another. He's, like, constantly strategizing to avoid getting a hero.
Right.
And at the end of the story, he dies, and they, like, call him, like, the relaxation hero or something.
They invent a new type of hero, the sort of jack-of-all-trade type hero.
Yeah.
He contributed a lot to a lot of different things, but nothing enough to... Yeah, whatever.
So obviously we have a very complete idea of this utopia, and it's a beautiful place that we all want to be. And after dinner, you know, you're going to criticize. Maybe you go out for some drinks with some friends. Maybe you watch some TV, read some books, listen to a podcast, whatever.
Yeah, you start winding down at the end of the day. You'd make your lights a bit more orange, a bit more red, shut off the blue lights, get your screens ready, brush your teeth again. And
some people do some journaling, some people do some reading.
Take your magnesium and, you know, hit the hay.
Yeah.
Shut off the lights and be like, that was a day well lived. Can't wait to wake up tomorrow and not do it all again, in that I would do the exact same things because there's so much flexibility, but do some of the same things, some different things, and have a mixture between the familiar and the novel. And that would just be the continue on your next day, the next day, the next day, until you die.
Yeah, die having lived a free life.
Yeah.
A life that's freer than what we have now, a life that's freer than humans have probably ever had in history. Like, this proposed society is a way of extending the principle of whimsy and free choice and interest and desire, threading that into this sort of hyper freedom, this freedom that's beyond, it's more than just like the free choice to pick between the things in front of you. It's also the free choice to pick between things that aren't in front of you and things even potentially that don't yet exist.
Yeah. And just increasing the amount of things that are in front of you for the vast majority of people for that society limits that a lot, sort of arbitrarily.
So everyone's richer than rich. And we're getting the benefit of, it's like you get to live almost the billionaire lifestyle in terms of access to things. But then there's also the pooling of resources that comes from stuff like shared knowledge and larger commons, more community and so on, that you have a more enriched social life than even the current billionaires have, which in that sense makes everyone richer than billionaires currently are and freer than free. We've got more liberty than the typical horizons of liberty are thought to. It's like our idea of freedom is like seeing in color, and this new idea of freedom we're putting forward is like being able to see the whole spectrum of light for the first time. There's this incredible depth of freedom, freer than free, richer than rich, commune of communes, but everyone's paid according to need. Everything is organized in the structure of a lending library. People have access to more things than they ever had in human history while never transgressing the boundaries of the planet. Sometimes people still have nightmares.
Yeah, we haven't solved nightmares yet. There's a lot of things that aren't solved, or things that aren't even solvable. There's just different ideas about how things should be.
Yeah, like the cutie doesn't like you back at the workplace. That's never going away. We're not promising shit on that cutie. Like,
This first,
I'm going to go try out this job. Maybe they're going to like me. No, they don't like you.
Yeah, they thought they... They thought they might like you. That's why they said you should try this job.
No, they thought you were just friends. You made it weird.
Oh,
no, I'm just kidding.
Right.
It's weird to say you to the audience. You. No, sometimes that is, it is what it is. Sometimes someone has a crush on you. You don't like them back and vice versa. That's never going away. There's still going to be nightmares. People are still going to get rashes. People are still going to get itchy. There's going to be new types of bed bugs. They're going to keep evolving.
But you don't need to worry about all that now. Today's just one day. You don't have to solve all of it. You're probably not dying today.
Yeah, and everything we said today is not. It's true. You know, potentials are true. Things can be or they cannot be. Like, it cannot be that I float up in the air and turn silver, and then I turn inside out, and then I come back down to the ground. And I'm a baby, but I have all the thoughts of a man. That can't be. That is not a potential. What we've described today is a potential.
Definitely. Some things transgress the boundaries of physics, possibility, reality. But I don't think anything we described today did.
No, not at all. That's a utopia that is possible. And it's a utopia we can all contribute to creating and getting on the path for, and the choices and discussions that we have today. And that's what we tried to do today with this episode, is help set a course by describing the experience of a particular outcome. And we encourage you to get to work in that direction, to build this ecological, democratic, library socialist society where the logic of the market and property relations can be transcended and replaced with the logic of reciprocity and the logic of holistic completeness, more than the sum of its parts, unity and diversity, an ecological understanding of the world, and a Usufructian idea of property. But we're out of time.
And, you know, maybe if you're a morning person and you've been up all day, you got up at 6 a.m. and now your afternoon's over at 6 p.m., you're going to unwind for a couple hours and go to sleep. But maybe you're someone who wakes up at noon, and to you, the day's just getting started when the evening is approaching, and you're like, oh, there's still 8-12 hours left to go. I'm going to be up till 4 in the morning or whatever. I'm a night owl. If you're that kind of person, then the next episode coming up is really for you, because the utopia at night is when things really become I don't know what word to use here.
Edgy
things, you know. When the sun goes down on this utopia, that's when
the party starts.
That's when the party starts. Yes, thank you.
So yeah, next time on Seriously Wrong on Utopia at Night, we're going to be talking about sex. We're going to be talking about drugs. We're going to be talking about partying. We're going to be talking about sleep deprivation. We're going to be talking about orgies. We're going to be talking about what else is salacious? We really need to get people behind the paywall here.
Right. Sex and drugs, that's like the key salacious violence. Things. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Rock and roll.
Yeah, violence, you know, there's limits to that, but there could be some fun play.
If you want to hear about utopian violence, tune in next time.
When the kids are asleep, utopia for adults is, yeah, I don't know. I'm bad at this pitch, but sign up on our Patreon. It's going to be great. It's going to be Utopia at Night. It's going to be all your deepest questions about the nitty gritty corners of the utopian world.
Yeah, the edgy underworld of the utopia with sex, violence, rock and roll, drug use, all night orgies, sleep deprivation. And the only way you can hear it is on the Seriously Wrong Patreon. This is the pitch. It's salacious. It's edgy. You're going to be on the edge of your seat. Edging. We're talking about all-night amusement parks, all-night arcades, all-night photography walks. The libraries don't close down when the sun goes down. No, sir. Tune in next time to find out what happens in Utopia at Night.
So yeah, thanks for listening. Head on over to our Patreon, patreon.com/seriouslywrong. You get the full archive, bonus episodes, that episode, Utopia at Night, access to our Discord. There's a book club in there. Great chats going on all the time. And yeah, you make the show possible. We can't do it without you. So patreon.com/seriouslywrong. We need you. It's true. It's a need for us. If we want to do the podcast, then we need patrons on Patreon to subscribe. Otherwise, we can't do it. So we need you to sign up, and we thank the ones who do.
It's also true that we need all the listeners, in a sense of that, you know, we really need you to listen to the show. In order to do that, we wouldn't do this unless people were listening and people didn't say like, hey, thanks, I like this.
Eventually, if we had zero comments ever, we would have stopped a long time ago.
And zero views listens. Or listens. Yeah, zero followers.
There's like 3 downloads because you and me look at it and that's it.
And we send it to a bunch of people and only one of them did. But like, is that clear? They really listened to it.
And yeah, thanks for listening to this episode. We'll see you again soon.
Yeah. And you know, afternoons in Utopia, it can be used for anything you damn well please. You can become a photographer. You can become a musician. You can play with your friends. You can get into improv. You can get into acting. You can become a writer. You have the time for whatever you want. That's Utopia. And you can even take a nap. See you next time. We now go to a packed meeting hall at an entirely voluntary university where a former billionaire who had been unfrozen and his rare cancer cured by a boy genius is delivering a lecture on how library socialist society is superior to the capitalist society that he was the beneficiary of.
It's In conclusion, when I first woke up, I thought my mission in life would be to take this society down and make it like it was before. I even tried to do it. I introduced motions and, you know, they were shot down, obviously, for not meeting constitutional requirements for disability justice and equality and all kinds of things, honestly. And over the course of that experience, I learned freedom doesn't have to be at the expense of other people. And in fact, true freedom is freedom for all. That being rich doesn't have to be at the expense of other people, and that in fact, it makes us richer than rich to each know that we all share in the bounty of this great planet. That having your voice heard doesn't have to come at the expense of other voices being silenced. And that usufructian property relations were superior to the abusive system in almost every single way. And that's why, being an unfrozen billionaire from the past, I have decided to dedicate my life to going around to different classrooms like this, lecture halls, letting people know the true horrors of the previous society. Things are so good now that many people don't even know how bad it was and how bad it could have been. And thank you for inviting me here as a guest lecturer to educate people, to keep that past alive. Let's open up the floor to questions.
Hi, thanks for the speech. Fascinating history. You mentioned that you guys only voted every 4 years. I was wondering, how did you fit all the votes on all the issues that are relevant to people's lives in one day in your democratic system?
Oh, no, you misunderstand. There was no voting on most issues. You would just sort of elect a figurehead who would, you know, decide whatever they want, basically.
I think I'm going to be sick.
Hi. You mentioned that there was a disproportionate power of the rich. I was wondering, does that refer to, like, rich in character, or, say, like, a richly creative person, or I'm lost?
No, that would be financially rich.
Financially. I'm not familiar with this term. Is that, like, the fin of a fish, or...
No, you're going to have to look it up in the archaic dictionary, the word finance. I don't know the exact definition. It's like having lots of money to trade for things.
Oh, the money is the tickets, the points.
Points, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Okay, thank you so much. Hi. I was wondering, you mentioned that people had to pay a monthly tribute to the landlords, people of generational wealth, for their homes on the first of the month. I was wondering, how many times did you have to not pay the tribute before your landlord would maybe speak to you in a stern voice or speak ill rumors of you in community? 15 or 16?
No. If you didn't pay even once and you didn't sort of make up that payment pretty quickly, you would be evicted, like removed from the home.
Oh, I see. Well, when they moved you to another equally good home with all of the same amenities, it wouldn't be too far, like across town, would it?
There was no obligation to provide any other home. You just, people figured it out or not. And some people were homeless.
Oh, I think I'm going to be sick again.
Hi, you mentioned that the average work week was about 40 hours. I was wondering, how many hours a day were acceptable to spend gently resting your eyes in the company hammock?
Most workplaces at that time did not have hammocks. You would usually get a short lunch break, although that often did not count towards the 40 hours.
Oh.
And that's just to eat quickly and then get back to work.
Whoa. And how many hours past 40... would someone have to work before the authoritarian leisure goons would come and give them an all-expenses-paid vacation to some sort of, like, leisure destination? 43 hours? 44?
We actually did not have authoritarian leisure goons in that society. The only types of authoritarian goons we had were more for people who didn't work enough to earn enough tickets to survive in the society. They were criminalized and imprisoned and... You could, if you wanted to, work as much as you want. I mean, the limit was only the physical limits of your body, sleep, and time itself.
Oh. Okay, well, thank you. I don't understand. But thank you.
I think that's all the time we have for questions today. If you want to learn more, please do read my book. And we're also working on an immersive virtual reality game called capitalism where you can experience this world for yourself, though we do recommend not spending more than 30 to 40 minutes in the game because it can be traumatizing. But we do think it's important to teach people about the world. Thank you again for inviting me. I have another lecture to get to right after this one. I've just done 3 and I've got 3 more today. This message is so important to me. I'm spreading it around, and thank you so much. And I'll just be on my way to the next lecture.
Hey, sir, do you got a moment to talk?
That flashlight is hurting my eyes, sir. Could you please put that down?
Sure. So, what'd you have for lunch today?
I ate a bit of a granola bar in between lecture 2 and 3, and...
Granola bar snack,
half a
sir.
Bag of chips. I ate a big breakfast.
Right, big breakfast, right.
I'm just not a lunch person. I'm more of a getting her done kind of person, you know?
Right,
done. Look, let's cut to the chase. I know who you are. I know you're an authoritarian leisure goon. I am not overworking. Just let me do 2 more today. Let's say instead of 3, I'll cancel the last one. Just 2 more. I'll push the last one to tomorrow, and then I can do 6 tomorrow. And... you're not looking like you're... Look, 1 more today and 7 tomorrow?
All right. Hey, you know, I heard your lecture. I thought it was great. I know you're a good kid. You don't want to cause any trouble. You don't want to run yourself ragged. You don't want to burn a candle at both ends.
It's just so important to spread the word about this society.
Yeah, every job is important, buddy. You know what else is important? You. Your soft, pink belly. Your human life in existence.
So look,
today is the day that we celebrate the day that we ripped up all the roads. We got a parade going across town right now. You go 2 blocks from here, it's gonna pass in 15 minutes. You cancel those 3 lectures, you enjoy the parade, you dance with people, you use a hula hoop, do a bit of art. I'll forget this interaction ever happened.
What if I gave a remote lecture from the parade?
Can it, all right? We're not negotiating here. There's a reason I have the power of authoritarianism behind me on this. You got bags under your eyes. Take the rest of the day for you. But if you push back, you got a 1-way ticket right here to a cabin in the Pacific Northwest full of great reading materials where you can take your sabbatical.
Nonfiction? I can help prepare more lectures?
I think you know the answer to that question, bud. It's fiction.
All right, then. Let me just collect my notes and I'll...
Hey, where do you think you're going, buddy? Hey, come... No, resisting. Hey, he's resisting. Hey, I got a snacker. Oh, you're going to this cabin for a good long time, buddy. Will the former capitalist billionaire turned library socialist advocate enjoy the scenic vistas of the Pacific Northwest surrounded by nature? Will he rest and reset and find the work-life balance he so desperately needs? And finally, will the imposition of an authoritarian politics through the authoritarian leisure goon system prove to be a corrupting influence on the greater library socialist society, leading to its downfall? Or will it turn out that this is one specific type of authoritarianism where that doesn't happen and it's actually just fine? All these answers and more on our next episode of Seriously Wrong, Utopia at Night. Only for subscribers on Patreon, so please sign up now.